Hey there, I'm Melissa Moss, certified financial planner and your host of the Truly Rich Life Project. This is a podcast about the real currency of life, connection, creativity, and contribution. And yes, sometimes cash. Now, I started this show because the people I admire most aren't just building wealth, they're building lives that matter. And this is the Truly Rich Life Project because the richest lives are built on more than money. Now, today's guest brings harmony, not just to instruments, but to lives. John Cunningham is the founder of Zawala School of Music, a place where students don't just learn to play notes, they learn to express themselves, collaborate, and create. Whether you want to jam with your favorite songs, compose original music, or finally make sense of music theory, John's approach is encouraging, fun, and tailored to each student. Parents say their kids look forward to lessons, and adults say he's the most helpful teacher they've ever had. And I think there's a beautiful connection between learning music and planning your financial life. In both, progress is exponential when you show up consistently, stay curious, and trust the process. So let's explore how finding your rhythm in music might just help you feel more in tune with your goals, financial and otherwise. So John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. So music, has it been part of your life for forever?
It pretty much has. So I have actually kind of a funny story about that. When I was 3 years old, I went to the Philippines to visit my family there. And I have a bunch of Filipino cousins, and they would tell me the story about, you know, because that was the first time they ever met me. And my mom, of all my cousins, is the oldest. So I was kind of like the first, one of the first babies of that generation to happen. So they're all excited to see me. And my cousin would tell me in the morning when I would wake up, instead of crying, I would sing. And I don't, you know, I was 3 years old. I don't even remember this, but apparently that's how I would wake up. I would just wake up in the crib and start singing. So pretty much as long as I can remember, I don't even remember like making a conscious decision that music was what I wanted to do. But, yeah, it's pretty much just been something I've been interested before I even formed conscious memories, really.
That's so cool. You know, I'm not a parent. I know you've got four kids, but I can imagine it's really cool if your baby wakes up singing. Like, that's incredible. Do any of your kids, have they done that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my kids, you know, it's funny. I've seen parents that were musicians, and they really wanted their kids to be musicians, and they kind of pushed them into it. And I've also seen other people that have been pushed and sort of forced into music lessons. And it creates a sort of a negative association to music. So I've never really pushed my kids to do music, but because I do it all, like we have a piano in the living room and I play it every morning, and I have a music room that's sort of like off limits to the kids. So like when they get to do music, they're excited, and I've kind of waited until they ask me to be interested in it. Might be able to hear my kids in the background right now. But yeah, they love to sing. Even my one-year-old, she imitates us singing all the time. Because we just, my wife sings too. And we used to play music together until we started having kids. But we still, you know, sing music at home. And she likes to sing a lot. Singing, I think, is a really good thing to start with. It kind of, actually, it's in Indian classical music. If you're being trained in the traditional way, in Indian classical music, you do many, many years of singing. Like even if you're going to be a sitar player, a tabla player, you sing for many years first. And what this does is it gets music inside of, like, you have an intuitive sense for music before you even approach your instrument. So I think singing is actually a great thing to start off with, even though people feel insecure about it sometimes. But I think as long as you have a safe environment, you know, singing is a great, I think one thing that happens is a lot of parents don't like hearing their kids sound bad when they sing. But, you know, I don't care if you're Beyonce or whoever you are, you're going to, you know, have to learn how to do it. So like a lot of people that don't know how to sing, really, they just haven't done it a lot. And a lot of people that like people come to me all the time that want to do lessons, and they'll say like, "Hey, I can't really sing. I'm tone deaf or whatever." But almost always when they say that, at some point in the conversation, they bring up their parents telling them they sounded awful as kids. So it like kind of stunted their musical growth. So I really just let my kids bang on the piano however they want or sing however they want. And it's
Yeah.
just a form of expression, really.
Yeah, I love that. That self-expression, and also, I guess it's literally finding your voice.
Yeah, the voice, I think, is one of the most beautiful things. I mean, like, there's certain guitar players, you hear them play guitar and you know it's them just by hearing it, but not like the voice. You know, the voice, we all have something unique. So maybe, like, I think one of the biggest killers of singers is comparison. You know, like if you compare yourself, your voice to somebody else's, like I've been guilty of that. You know, you listen to Stevie Wonder sing and you think like, man, I don't sound like that, you know, but in the same sense, he doesn't sound like you. And he, you know, so it's important to find whatever works for whatever you have, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting comparative, looking at comparison. And I hear a lot of, well, when I hear things, sometimes people will say, "Oh, I don't really like such and such really popular singer because her voice is just so like basic and blah." I'm like, "Well, that's interesting. Like what, there's room for all kinds of voices." And in my opinion, I think it's kind of inspiring that somebody who might have an attainable sounding voice is inspiring so many people.
With art, it's kind of an it, 'cause so one thing that's kind of strange about choosing music as a career is money gets involved. You know, and not that you can't make good music with money in mind, but like it really does sort of get in the way of making authentic music. Because, in my opinion, it's I would rather someone not like my music than somebody not feel anything from it. So, like, if I'm trying to please everybody with whatever music I'm writing, I'm probably. Like, I would rather make somebody really happy and then somebody upset, you know, than to just make everyone kind of like, eh, it's okay. You know what I mean? So I think the goal is feeling something and communicating something, not being liked or, you know, disliked. So, you know, I end up in restaurant situations or maybe I'm playing a wedding where I really can't be myself, you know, in some ways. So like finding how to still have your voice while being somebody that's hired for a specific job is kind of like it's a tightrope sort of dance, you know?
Yeah, okay. So there's a lot to pick apart here, both in the, creating music and what that is and how money can get in the way of that, but then you're hired for a gig and then a lot of that is taking your creativity out of it. Oh man.
So that's why I'm in so many different projects. You know, I have certain projects I'm in where I show up and it's work. And yes, I still try, even in those within the confines of that job, I still try to find some way to express something real, you know? And plus, I just like music. I'm like a glutton for music and playing it especially. So even if it's like not my vision or authentically me, I don't know, it's still like a craft in a craft kind of way. It's still fun. But I still need projects where I don't care who likes it, you know? I think that's also important. I mean, and then in a way it's like it's similar to what a lot of people do because, like, you know, I have students that are professional, they have a professional career in something else, like computer coding or whatever. And then they have music on the side to for like self-expression because they're at a job where they can't express themselves, you know, they're you know, especially corporate jobs, even more so. You know, so they have music on the side as a way to, and I'm kind of the same way. Like I have my music job and then I have my music, like that's like just for me and just for like what I really like, you know?
Yeah. Music for the art of it and music for the business side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes it's hard to keep them separate because they kind of mingle, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And occasionally, I think it's rare, but sometimes the art can actually help people access that crazy level of abundance, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's not for most people, that's not the path. And so doing like the computer programming and also exploring music on the side, like that's a cool thing. And so you work with people, you teach music lessons in person and virtually, right? Is that mm-hmm. part of, yeah. That's so.
Yeah. I have some students that don't live close. Mm-hmm. I used to teach up in Lawrenceville. And I had a student that was actually in McDonough,
mm-hmm.
McDonough, I think. Yeah. And she would drive over to Lawrenceville for a while. But then when I stopped teaching there, it's just way too far away. So we've just been doing all virtual. And then I have another student that went to college. He's on the autism spectrum. And it was kind of a big deal for him to move away and go to college. But he's really, music is really, I think, helpful for him. Because, you know, I mean, we all deal with stress, but people on the spectrum, I think, have amplified stress to some degree. So having music as an outlet, I think, has been really helpful. And he writes music. And, you know, and it's funny, his mom actually came to me or sent me a message and was like, because he was exploring some blues and some different types of music. And she was like, is he supposed to be singing like that? Is this okay? Because I guess he was, you know, trying to be really expressive. And I was like, yeah, just let him explore and figure things out. You know, it's like when you're creating stuff, the moment you bring judgment into the room, it, like for me, that's always a creativity killer. You know, like you have to be, in order to really let stuff out, you have to be really open and just let it all come out, whether it's ugly or whether it's pretty or whether it's uncomfortable or whether it's quote unquote bad or, you know, maybe dissonant, you know, let it all come out. And then once it's all out there, maybe at some point you make a judgment, you know, but in the creative process itself, you have to just, and that's, you know, a lot of people that aren't used to that, it's kind of difficult to let go of like, the judgment, you know? And I even see it with my kids in school, you know, like with the grading, you know, the constant grading everything and evaluating, giving you like a score on stuff, you know, mm-hmm. It kind of changes people's perspective on what's, you know, like what it's all about, like creative writing and stuff like that. Like, you know, if you're really creatively writing, just write about, because I think there's things inside of us that are kind of scary that we sort of hide from, you know, and when you're really creating, sometimes those scary things come out, like insecurities or fears or, you know, like, or bad experiences that have happened in your life that you kind of try not to look at, you know what I mean? But I think that's what's beautiful about music, is it gives you a place for those ugly things to exist in a way that can be beautiful and can help us connect to each other, you know?
Yeah, that's what was coming up for me when you were saying that. It's like that's sharing those scary things or finding a way to express that allows for connection that might not otherwise be possible.
Yeah. I think if you play it safe, you limit the amount of connection that you can have, you know.
Wow. And to me, connection is one of the most important things in life. And so I think music helps us to connect to each other and maybe like something in a larger sense, you know, it's the universal language, right? Music.
Yeah.
And so we may not share the same words, vocabulary, alphabets, but, you know, musical notes can translate. And you can really get feeling through that. And you're talking about making somebody feel happy and also like sad. So you didn't mention sad, but I heard the other side of that coin, you know, feeling sadness through music as well. But are there things inside of music I heard you speak recently, and here's where I'm going, that there is a process to writing a song. And I imagine there's also a process to evoking certain types of emotion. Is there a structure that can help bring forward joy or sadness inside of music?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean by, I mean, there's a structure to it. So like people that come to me and say they're not creative or they can't improvise. I hear that sometimes because I try to encourage people to improvise, because when you improvise music, it sort of exposes how well you actually know or understand how music works. You know what I mean? Because it's one thing to just sort of regurgitate things that you've sort of learned. It's kind of like, so opera singers do this. So like, say you're doing an opera, right? And it's in German. A lot of time the opera singer will just learn it phonetically. They won't even necessarily know the meaning of what they're saying, you know? And this is, you see this in the classical world a lot, not just opera, where they just mimic the notes that they see, but they don't understand. Like I used to work with this guy and he was a classical trained piano player and he was amazing. He was really, really good. But sometimes I would try to jam with him and he had no vocabulary because he didn't actually understand how music was structured. He just sort of, and not to knock that or anything. In fact, I was really impressed with this. You know, he had sort of a physical ability that I didn't have. So, because basically, different note combinations evoke different feelings. And essentially what you do is you make sort of a catalog in your mind of like, this note combination feels sad. This note combination feels happy. But then there's all these like in-betweens. Because like when we talk about feelings, a lot of times we'll say like, oh, this is happy or this is sad or this is angry, right? But music can get really specific, like what it feels like to graduate high school. Like that's not really an emotion. In fact, it's the combination of emotions, because when you graduate high school, it's like exciting, but it's also scary. And this is the interesting thing about music, is like you're describing opposing feelings here. You're excited, which is positive, but you're also scared, which is negative, right? And songs will a lot of times have these sort of like opposing feelings within it, you know, and compounding feelings, or, you know, or like what it's like to, you know, make a new friend in adulthood, you know, like that's like, there's these really, really specific feelings that are like a mix of emotions, and music can sort of capture an atmosphere or sort of like a time in, or like what it's like to be in your 20s in the 80s, you know, or something, you know, like these really specific sort of emotional, and all of those different things can be remembered. Like, okay, so like the most basic example of this would be major and minor chords. So major chords, and I try to stay away from words like good and bad, because really, like sometimes I'll play like a really ugly chord and I'll ask my students, does this sound good or bad? And they'll usually say bad. But then I'll say, well, what if we're watching a movie and in this scene, somebody is, you know, in a house alone and, you know, and there's been a murderer on the loose, or, you know, it's a very tense kind of scene. Then I say, well, is this the right chord or is this the right sound? And then they go, oh, yeah, it actually is the right sound. And then I play them something major and happy and you're tempted to say that's right, you know, because it sounds nice. But if it's a horror movie and it's a scary scene, then that nice sounding thing is the wrong thing at that point. So it's all about context. And it's like a language in the sense that, like, you know, you can memorize these note combinations. And like I can, to the point where I can have a feeling, and then my fingers know where that feeling is or how to describe that feeling with certain combinations of notes. So it's
Wow.
like it is creative. There's a creative aspect to it, but it's also there's a system, and I think this is one thing that's really appealing, especially to me, about music, is it's creative and it's fun, but it's also like logical. And the rules are like mathematical in the sense that like if something applies here, it also applies over here. And like it's not music's not all based off of knowledge. In fact, if you just get little bits of knowledge, you can infer all kinds of stuff. Like, oh, if this is true, then this must be true, and this must be true. And once you start understanding that system, because my whole goal is to, when someone leaves lessons, for them to feel confident to continue developing beyond the lessons, you know. Not just like the lessons are over and like, okay, I'm done developing now because I, you know, don't feel confident venturing out into the unknown and asking questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, okay. So much amazing stuff. I took notes. Andy, I want to also come back to this, like feeling in a lesson. So capturing an atmosphere through music and sound, like, yes, absolutely. That's sort of what it is. And I remember there was some song about the time I graduated high school in 2004, and it absolutely captured the feeling of excitement, and like, oh, can't wait to go out into the world. And also, I'm sad because I'm leaving my friends, and we may never all be in the same place again. Like, it's an end to something. And also, thank goodness, because can't be in high school forever. That would be not my idea. So it's, yes, definitely like a mix of emotions there. And when you said like capturing a feeling of being in your 20s in the 80s, like that's so specific. There are some songs that make me feel that way, but I was not in my 20s in the 80s. But I can like imagine what that must have been like and what the hairspray could have smelled like, you know? And kind of getting to it, travel to a time and a place through a song. And then I also love that your goal with lessons is to help your students feel confident to continue developing. And how you talk about music and teaching your students and having them just discover more, I think it's really cool. Growing up, I played piano for a while, and I played the alto sax, which led to a few other instruments, but I remember specifically going to an alto sax lesson, and it just was it felt rigid and like I've got to love playing these scales that I hated. Like, and it's the same thing over and over and over again. And there was not joy. It was just that structure. And you know, a saxophone has reeds, and like I was like, oh my gosh. What a dry read. Like it just, it, all of the, it just, what, there was no joy in that moment. It was just all about like the, I guess, you know, so I didn't go very far through those lessons, but I love that you're working with whatever instruments your students are working with that they, you know, feel confident to continue developing. So.
Yeah, joy is so important. You know, I structure, not to say that structure isn't important, but it's just not important in the beginning, I don't think. I think the discipline and the repetition and all that, like it has to come later, you know? Because the joy is what drives all that. And also, like, knowing what happens at the end of all the repetition and the discipline and all that. Because the eventually that discipline and the structure and everything maximize joy eventually, because you have a deeper vocabulary. And also, like, your mind always develops musically quicker than your body. So like if you're learning how to improvise, what that does is it gets the notes happening in your mind rather than on the instrument or on the page, you know? So then as you develop, and that's why in India they start with singing, because that essentially gets the music into your mind or into your, something that you can experience internally that then you try to recreate externally, versus music being out there and you're trying to, you learn how to find it within yourself. And then once you get the joy of just making sound and just, once you have that bug, then you introduce the discipline. Because then they go, oh, I have these ideas now that I want to express, but my body isn't capable of playing what I hear in my head. So like, then that's a good problem to have. Now, then I can say, okay, well, if you want to develop that speed to play that thing that you hear, this is how you do it, And the getting better physically at your instrument part is actually, it's difficult, but it's simple. Meaning like, it's like if I want to get stronger, it's effort, but it's simple. I just lift this thing a bunch of times over and over, So that's the point of the scales and all that kind of stuff is like when you go to play a melody, if you've been practicing your scales a bunch, like your fingers are like, can just easily do it. But if you start with that, and the student hasn't learned what's really cool about music and like how much it can be a tool for self-expression and all that, then they're never gonna stick with it. And then they end up with this negative association to it, like, oh, that's what music is. It's just scales and structure and
Repetition.
repetition. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that, wow. There's a movie I used to watch as a kid, and I wish I could remember what it was called, but it was live action, but there was this animated figure, and he was making fun of something. He's like, I know I can play an instrument too. I can play the radio. And so that's sort of like where my mind goes if, the joy is kind of taken out a little too early. If you try to force things along too quickly. And I can play the radio. Luckily, I still have that talent. I can
Yeah.
play a couple songs I remember from the piano, but they're not like, they're child songs. So it's still fun to play them though. So, I and
Yeah,
I.
and there's, I was kind of,
Oh, go ahead.
go ahead. You were saying about those childhood songs. It's good. I've been on the other end of the spectrum where I didn't learn any songs for a long time. In fact, a very common trajectory that you see, especially for guitar players, is there's all these like guitar player songs that you quote unquote are supposed to learn, like the AC/DC Back in Black. You've heard that song. You've heard it now because Jason plays it all the time. But like I skipped all that. Like I never really learned the stuff I was supposed to learn or whatever. And it's funny because I'm now learning all that stuff, but it's almost like it's kind of easy for me to learn that stuff now because what I have focused on basically my whole musical life is being able to hear something in my head and then recreate it with my instrument. And since I focused on that, now if I hear AC/DC in my head, then I can play it because, so it's almost like, learning the way that music works so that you can play anything rather than just play these specific things. But some people, it just depends on how your mind works. Like my daughter, she's very sort of technical and she is into rules and order and like how, and she really likes just learning songs. And everybody interacts with music in their own way. Like if all you want to do is like open up a book at Christmas time and play what's on the page and all sit around the piano, I think that's awesome. I think that's really cool. It's like I don't think there's one way to interact with music, but as far as the benefits of self-expression, improvisation is like helps you learn about
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think we've got our connection is a little off here, but no, that is also reminds me of like cooking. And so there's learning how to cook from a recipe, and then there's learning how to cook because the components that can go into a dish, and you can improvise in the kitchen based on what you have or what's in season or whatever. So, it kind of feels like there's some similarity there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually. I should use that more. That's a really good analogy, actually, I think.
Yeah, and there's a cookbook. I don't know if it's a cookbook. There's a book. It's been on my wish list for a while. It's called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, or some order of those four words. But you need salt and fat and acid and heat in order to cook. And you can kind of mix around, like, what are those acids going to be? What type of heat will you use? So what kind of fat? And it's just, if those are the main ingredients, it could be a lot of different, you can be creative inside of the structure. A lot of that. Well, I have another question, and that is, for students, whether they're, we'll talk to parents, but whether or adults. So if somebody's hearing this and is curious about, being a student, whether it's for themselves or their child, what are some, like, what's one thing you'd want them to think about if they were to, I don't know, pick up an instrument again and try to bring that music back into their life if they're an adult, or get their kid more involved in music?
Well, one of the things that I am up against when people come in for lessons is their own expectations. So I think a lot of people come into lessons and they sort of have an idea about, like, oh, I'm just gonna do some lessons, and then through those lessons, I'm gonna, play like all these people that I, something made them want to do it. Like they saw somebody playing and thought, oh, that sounds nice. I would like to do that. And music, it just, it happens really slow or really quick. And what I mean by that is if you have some, like, again, it's the comparison thing, is if you're comparing yourself to somebody, that's been playing for, I've been playing an instrument for like 28 years. You know what I mean? So it's like being like a new French speaker and being like, well, I don't sound like a native French speaker. You're not gonna sound like a native French speaker right away. So like music, I think, especially in the beginning, it's about taking like little chunks, like, and really zeroing in on, like, maybe I'm not gonna sound like this yet, but maybe I could get really good at this one really specific thing right now. Like on piano, I start off with this thing called the five finger exercise. Pointer, middle, ring, pinky. And some of these exercises can be, and this is what I mean by really fast, is like it doesn't take very much for something to start to sound like music. Like literally, if you just pluck one note, dum 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 dum, it's just two notes. All I did is I added a little rhythm to it, and I just played them in a particular sequence, and now it sounds like music. So if you're trying to sound like Chopin or something or Mozart, yeah, you're probably not gonna sound like that right away. But if you focus on like what can I do with these two notes, or what can I do with just these five fingers? You focus in on something really simple, and then really the whole point of it is to kind of get lost in that activity, because music is a very pre you have to be very present, especially if you're trying to improvise, because it's a lot of like hitting something and then like listening. And the other thing I'm up against too is the modern sort of Instagram, TikTok world, where you're used to just kind of scrolling and it's like feeding your brain all this dopamine and all this stuff. You know what I mean? And music is like a very slow process, So it's about really slowing down and being present and in the moment and not having instant gratification and all these kind of things that are sort of tough to overcome in the beginning. So like as long as you have the right expectations, anybody can do music. And as long as you don't expect yourself to make huge jumps right away, and you just kind of stick with it. And it, because music takes faith. There's a certain amount of faith that it takes, right? Because you don't know. You like a lot of people think, oh, I don't know if I can do this. First of all, you can. Anybody can do it. but they don't know. They haven't seen the process yet, you know? So there's a certain amount of faith and trust that it takes that if I just keep doing this really one little simple thing, because a lot of people go, oh, all I'm going to do is this five finger exercise. That's like all I have to do. And I like, I'll start doing it. And there's so much you can get out of that one little thing. And that's really what music's all about, is how much can I milk out of this one little tiny thing? In fact, there's whole genres. And I'm going to talk about this in the 7 minute this week. There's whole genres built off of one chord progression. There's this genre called the blues. We've heard of the blues, maybe. And it's literally basically one chord progression. And there's been decades and decades of music off of these three. It's basically three chords. That's the blues. And you can milk so much out of three chords. You know what I mean? If that's all you know on guitar, you can milk literally decades out of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's incredible. And it sounds like, so building musical skill sounds a lot like investing over time.
It is. It's an investment, for sure.
Put a little bit of an investing, you put a little bit of money in and the market does whatever it does, but over time tends to go up, right? You'll end up with more in 10 or 20 or 30 years than you have on day one, you know? So it's that faith of showing up every day in music, in focusing, being present, doing what you know to do and trusting the process. So
yeah, you gotta trust the process. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's cool. Cooking and investing. Yeah, very much like music.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, also music is one of those things that, you know, we talked before hitting record, and it's one of those things that a lot of people find like makes life worth living is getting to enjoy music, you know, whether it's live music or listening to your favorite song. I know for me, it's really, okay, what do I want to feel? And I'll go find the artist or songs or genre that take me to that feeling space.
Yeah.
So, which is really incredible in a great way. Well, a great way to feel connected and be present in life, and also like archive memories, you know, based on, I don't know if you've ever like after my, I don't know. They're just, music can transport me. We'll just say that.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah, totally.
Time travel. Well, where can people find you, John?
So I have a website. It's just Zawalla School of Music. Zawalla is Zawalla, schoolofmusic.com.
Awesome.
That's probably the best way.
I'll link to that in the show notes as well. So yeah, that's awesome. So if you are local in the Atlanta area, Holly Springs, Cherokee County, definitely find John if you're interested in music lessons. He also performs, so you can see him perform. Any regular spots you want to mention?
Sure. Yeah, there's a Dos Margaritas in Hickory Flat. I play there every Thursday, and we should be starting to play there on Fridays outside as well. Thursdays are inside. And it's pretty fun. We've got like a 300 song set list or something like that. So we're constantly, and people, it's like the request.
Yeah.
Place. People have gotten really into that. So people will throw songs at us and try them out. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. So find him at the Dos Margaritas in a Hickory Flat on Thursdays, and Fridays coming soon. Zawalla School of Music, and reach out to him. And even if you want a virtual, take up virtual lessons, he offers that as well. So, well, thanks for being with us today, John. It's been awesome.
Yeah, thanks. This was fun. This is actually my first pod. I've never, you know, I've been recording music since I was a teenager. I've never recorded my talking voice.
Wow. You've never recorded your talking voice. Yeah. Well,
never recorded my talking voice.
You know, there's a course for everything. So
yeah.
Well, thanks for choosing this show for your first. So.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And that's a wrap for today's episode of the Truly Rich Life Project. I hope this conversation sparked something meaningful for you, whether it was a new idea, a deeper reflection, or just a quiet moment to feel connected to what really matters. If you enjoyed the show, I'd be so grateful if you'd take a moment to leave a review. Your words help more people discover stories that inspire, and they mean the world to me personally. Make sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode. I've got more incredible conversations coming your way about building a rich life in purpose, connection, and possibility. Want to go deeper? Sign up for my newsletter at melissamoss.co/newsletter. That's where I share behind-the-scenes thoughts, intentional money tips, and first access to special events and workshops designed to support your version of a truly rich life. And if there's someone in your world who's building a beautiful life, maybe a parent, a business owner, a legacy maker, send them this episode. Sharing something meaningful is a rich act in itself. Until next time, this is Melissa Moss, reminding you that the richest lives are built on more than money, and you deserve a life that feels as good as it looks. Melissa Moss is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.